We're beginning here on the bottom of Nun Tet Amud Bet. We are continuing the series of exchanges between Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah and the Kezar. The original story related to our Gemara, because there was the statement that Hashem was compared to a lion. And then we spoke about the Aryeh de Beilai, the unique lion of Beilai, that was what Hashem was compared to. That's related to our Sugya. Now the remaining stories are brought down in a sequence here because they are all the similar of a similar ilk of this exchange between Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah and the Kezar. So I'm like Kezar, Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah, Be'ina de'ichse le'lukaychu. I want to see your God. You can't see him. I'm Ivro. I insist. I want to see him. Chazin and lay. So Azul ukmen lehadayoma b'tukufa tamuz. He took the Kezar out on the summer solstice in the middle of the day. I'm lay stakobe. Look directly at the sun. I'm lay lo matzino. He says, I can't. The sun, or the daytime, which is just one of the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kaimei Kamei the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amart lo matzin lis tekulubet, and you're saying that you're unable to look at it, Shekhinah lo koshukain, can't we draw a kavachomer that it'll be impossible for you to be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you can't handle some of his minions, and obviously you can't handle HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So I'm like, Kezah the Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah, Bina, the Izvit lein Nehema le'elkaichu. I want to prepare a banquet, a large meal. I want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu a wonderful spread. Samalei lo matzit. Says he can't do that. Amai nefishe chilubte. That he has too many legions. He has too many helpers, legions, servants, and therefore you would not be able to serve him. Amalei ivro. Says despite that, I insist, I want to do this, I can do this. Amalei pok tzavit legido derivita. Go ahead and set up your banquet on the banks of the river named Revita, the Revicha Alma, that has a large open area where you can serve him. Tarach Shita Yarcheted, for 6 months he prepared it, then during the Kaito, during the summer. Ato Ziko, at the end of the summer, a wind comes and Kanche the Yama swept it away into the sea, or into the water. Tarach Shita Yarcheted Sitva, then during the winter he worked for another 6 months preparing the meal. Ato Mitro, the rain came along, and Tave Biyamo, and then it washed it away again into the waters or into the sea. Amalei my high. So Caesar says to Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah, what's going on here? Says Amalei, these are just the beginning. Hanei kenushai zaluchai data kamei. These are Hashem's sweepers and sprinklers. Kenushai, they are the ones that sweep the house. Zaluchai, in their day, they used to have dust or dirt on the floor and they used to sprinkle water on it to keep the dust settled. So he says, these are HaKadosh Baruch Hu sweepers and sprinklers. That's what they eat. The Adu Kamei that go in front of him or that work for him. The rest are still coming. He says, if that's the case, I can't keep this up. There are just way too many of them. As you said, that his legions are many and therefore I can't do this. Amalei Bat Kesa the Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah. So the daughter of the Kesa says, Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah, Elokechon Nagruhu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a carpenter, Dichdiv, Hamikare B'mayim Aliyotav. He places down, he lays beams, b'mayim aliyotav, for the waters in his high places, his attics. Emalei denavid lichada mistaito. He should make me one spool or reel of wood. Amar lechayim. Okay, no problem. Bayrach melo. He davened for her, v'nga, and she was turned into a mitzora. Otva b'shuka. Well, the minhag it was in Rome, we'll see in a second, was that they placed her out in the open marketplace, the Romi. Vevla mistorita, and they gave her this reel or spool, the havenihige b'chol, the mingo. Then anybody who got sarat in Rome, Romi, yavule mistorita, they used to give them a spool or reel. Viyati b'shuka, and they sat in the marketplace. Vesatar dolule, and they used to wind the coils of thread around it. And people would see this, and know that these poor people were mitzoraim. And therefore they would daven on their behalf. Which happens to be a halacha that we have, that in the beginning of a sickness, one generally keeps it quiet. But if a person sees that it's going to be prolonged or difficult, or they need the intercession of Shamayim, in that case, they publicize the issue in order that others should come and daven on their behalf. And secondly, one of the reasons for Bikur Cholim is exactly this. One of the reasons given Bikur Cholim is that when the person comes to Mivaka the Choled, they will see their condition, and in seeing their condition, they will daven on their behalf, Makayish Rachamim. And for that reason also, when Shulchan Aruch, when it's brought down, or the Lach is brought down, in terms of when to visit the sick person, one shouldn't visit them and the time of the day where they will be very sick, and also visit them in the time of day when they're very strong. If they look too good or look too strong, people won't consider davening for them. They'll say, yeah, they're not so bad. If they are hopeless and they look horrible and they're very sick, then they also won't daven because they think that it's a hopeless cause. So you have to visit the cholim at the time of the day when you'll recognize their true needs, and it will compel you to daven on their behalf. So a similar idea to what we have here. So Yom Echad Chava Kol Chali Fatam. Shur B'Chananya happened to be passing by this area of the Shuk. And sure enough, she was there winding her threads in the open market the Romai. Amala Shapirta Mistarita De'avla Chalukai. Says, do you like the spool or reel that my God gave you? You had asked for a spool or reel, and now you got it. Do you like what you got? Amalei, emalei lo kecha lishkol, my deovli. Says, tell your God to take back what he gave me. Amala, elokati dan, our God is very generous. Mio yoiv, he gives, mishkolo shakel, but doesn't take back. He's only a giver, he's not a taker. Samar Rav Yehuda, sure, an ox is a karsatan, has a large underbelly. Upar Satan has large hooves. Rav Reshe has a large head. Rav Gnovate and has a large tail. Vechilufa bechamra. And with regards to a donkey, it's just the opposite. Lamay nafkemino. Why does this matter to us? We know what a donkey looks like. We know what an ox looks like. Mekach umemkar. That means that the standard understanding between two parties when they're transacting over an ox, when they're transacting over a donkey, is that these particular descriptions be as such. By the ox they be large, by the chamor they be small, because that's what normally is true or comes with a shor, and that's what's normally true or comes with a donkey. From Rav Yehuda, another statement by Rav Yehuda, shor shikriv adam rishon, the ox that adam rishon was makriv, keren achat haita lo b'mitzko, it had a single horn on its head, it was like a unicorn, shenemar, v'titav la'ashem mishorpar makrin mafris. The song and hoda'ot la'ashem that you do, tiv la'ashem, are much more pleasing to Hashem, mishorpar makrin mafris, from the karbanot, or the sacrifices of the shor, the par, makrin, that has horns and has hooves. So makrin, tarte mashma. I don't know what your proof is from here. Makrin is in the plural form. Sounds like it has two, but the normal horns of a shor par, which is two. Samar Nachman, makrin is written without a yud there. It's written chaser. Since it's written makrin k'tiv, or mikeren k'tiv, which is in the singular form, that's how we know that it was a single-horned ox. And that's the mizmor is talking about by Adam Rishon, that titiv l'ashem ishor par makrin, that's better. Those songs, tishpachot and odot l'ashem, are much more pleasing than even that shore that was brought by Adam Rishon that had Mikaren had one single horn to it. The shore that Adam Rishon brought as a karban was a unique or unusual in that its horns preceded its hooves. Shenemar, v'titav l'ashem mishopar makrin mafris. Makrin bereisha, the pasuk first mentions makrin, that the unique feature is its karen, its horns, v'hadar mafris, and then after that, its hooves. So the idea being here that in normal cases of maturing of an animal is born with its hooves. So it has its hooves first, and after it reaches maturity, then its horns grow in. So the normal situation, the normal case would be that the hooves precede the horns. Yet, by Adam Rishon, it's different, because all of creation came out when it was fully mature. Well, if it comes out fully mature, then we would have suggested at least the horns and the hooves at least were simultaneous. But we also know, and we'll see in a second, that since the shor emerged from the ground, as it emerged from the ground, the upper part of the body would be created first. If that's the case, the horns preceded the hooves. And this would be this unique circumstance that the korban will be brought from that animal that has its horns precede its hooves, which is not true in a normal situation where the hooves would precede the horns. And where it says, Misayle Reb Shu ben Levi, this idea that is raised by Rav Yehuda also helps the position of Rav Yishuv ben Levi, or is helped by the position of Rav Yehuda. Amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi, komase breshit, bekomatam nivru, bidatam, or probably more likely guess is lidatam nivru, bitzivyonam nivru. First of all, bekomatam, as Tosfot points out over here, we're not talking about that they were upright or erect, but rather, bekomatam means in their full maturity, a state of full maturity that they were brought about. Lidatan, they were willingly or with consent, they were created. And bitzivyonam nivru, and they were created in their form, but also with the understanding from that which was created that they agreed that this should be the form. Shenemar, Hayechulu Hashemayim Varetz, Vichol Tzivaam. Shem Kapit Hashemayim Varetz, Vichol Tzivaam. Al Tikra Tzivaam, Ela tziv yonam. Don't call it tziv'am, but rather tziv yonam. Now tziv yonam, and the way the Oroch interprets it is that this word savar tziv yonam actually manifests itself in many ways. So it could also be tziv yonam, or it could be from the root nitzav, upright or standing. So that would be the first case here of nitzav, that it would be komatan, that they were in their full state of maturity, that we can learn out from the word nitzav. Tziv yonam also could come from the word tzvi, meaning desire, consent, alacrity for the datan, that they did it willingly or with their permission. And b'tzivyonam will come from the word again, tzavar, tzivyon, means its shape or pleasure, and that was that they consented to the way that they would look. Okay, and the Gemara continues, Darash Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Yichivo Dashem Neulam Yismach Hashem B'masav, Posuk Zeh Sarar Olam Amro. This posuk was said by the ministering angel of the world. Tosafot over here discusses that there seems to be different agadot of Sar Olam and Matatron, and the fact that Chanoch was Sar Olam, as well as the fact that Matatron was also known as Sar Olam, and that would be, by transitive property, mean that Chanoch was Matatron, which would be very difficult. Tosafot says, maybe it's a machloket agadot. I'm going over here, who exactly the Sar Olam is. The interesting feature of this Tosafot is that he brings his proofs from the Piyutim. He brings at the beginning of the Tosafot a proof from the Piyut and the Yotzrot for Simchat Torah, the proof that all of these ideas are true. Efi mashim farshim dechanoch zeh matzatron, kimoshi yisad apayit, veomer dehu sar olam, kimoshi yisad apayit. Again, all the proofs come from the Piyutim, which is just very interesting methodology of questioning or proof. In the end, Tosfot says that it's very possible that you have a machloket agadot. So pasuk zeh sar olam amro, b'shar shamar kosh baruch hu nemineu be'ilanot. Shem commands trees to come out, each one according to its species, not to get mixed up. Nasu disha'im kal v'chomer atzam. The deshe, or the esif, which did not receive such a command, they were dana kal v'chomer and said, im ritzono shel kosh baruch hu barbuvya. If Hashem really wanted everything to be mixed together and all a mess, Lama marli minei ubi lanot. Then he would never have commanded the trees to be distinct and separate. Vod kavachomer, marli lanot chain darkam, let's say barbuvia. In general, the trees require spacing in order to grow, so they don't generally grow in that manner of being mixed up and intertwined. So then Hashem still commanded them, limineu, to stay separate. Anu achad v'kaad kam v'kama, we, how much more so? We, who our natural state is to be barbuvia, of course we should have to do it, limineu, umiyad. Based on that, that kavachomer, each one came out unto its min, which is what the Torah says, that they were yatzal minehem, but there was never any tzivui of such. Patach sar olam v'amar, sar olam comes out and says, Yichei kvod Hashem le'olam, Yismach Hashem b'maasev, Hashem should be happy, celebrate, rejoice in his creations, because his creations want to do his will, and that they are even dana kavachomer in order to do his will. Now, by Ravina, Ravina says, if this Agadah is really true, that which Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa is suggesting, then it should have a nafkamina l'alocha, which is, hirkiv shnei deshaim zel gabizeh. Person who grafts two different types of desha on top of each other, what is the din? So Ravina asked this of Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, based on what Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa just had said. The Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, according to Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa's explanation, what would be the din here? Since there's no tzivui by them that they actually be done the mineyu, lo mechayev, there's no obligation to do so. Oduma came into this scheme ayadayu, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to what they did, because, first of all, we don't see him criticizing it, but number two, we said in the end that that's what happened. Kaman dechtivu, it's as if it was literally written there, the mineyu, damyo, and therefore, it should be a problem of kilayim. Mar says, teiku. We leave it as an unresolved answer. Tosafot says, I don't understand. It's an explicit Mishnah in Kilayim, in the first parak in Kilayim, which is that Ein notim ilan bilan, v'lo yerek b'yerek. Ein notim zer dalat v'toch achalamit, mivnei sheyerek b'yerek. You're not allowed to mix up items, not even just trees, you're not allowed to mix up even vegetation. So why does the Gemara even have a question here? It's an explicit Mishnah. So Tosavot gives two reasons, or two answers. One is, Yesh lomar zibayle b'chutz la'aretz. The question is not about in Eretz Yisrael, but rather in chutz la'aretz to show kilei zera'im v'asira kavat ilan, where kilei zera is allowed, whereas grafting of trees is not allowed. The question really revolves around chutz la'aretz and not Eretz Yisrael. That's one answer of Tosafot. The second answer of Tosafot is, inami afilu ba'aretz mibayle de raboshia. The kilayim is only when you do a mixture of chitan sora, you need two grains, v'chatzan, and a grape seed in one shot. The last possibility that Tosafot introduces over here is inami l'bnei noach kami b'ile. It's a question for bnei noach. D'sharu b'kilei zraim, v'sirei b'akavat ilan. They're permitted to have kilei zraim, but they're not allowed to have grafted trees because of the pasuk et chokutai tishmaru chukim shechakakti lecha, that are the species and the separation and the categories that I laid out in Masei Bereishit, you shouldn't come along and change them. And for the question is for Bnei Noach, where does this fall out? Does this fall out in the category of Ilanot, or does this fall out in the category of Kilei Zraim? And that will depend on how you view the Kal V'Chomer. If Hashem is Kim al Yadam, then he made them like a Ilanot, because the Kal V'Chomer came from the Ilan, so too they'll be classified as Ilanot. On the other hand, if you think that, yes, it was nice they did with Kal V'Chomer, but Hashem did not elevate them to the status of Ilan, then they would have the same status as Zraim. And by Zraim, Kilaim is Mutar by Ben Noach. Right now we have a very famous Amagadato. Shimon Pazi Ramiktiv. We have two psukim. V'yasa lukim et shnei amirot agdolim, the two large luminaries. Uchtiv et mar gadol et mar katan, the large luminary and the small luminary. Amra yareach lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The moon said to Hashem, Ribono Shalom, v'shar l'shnei melachim shishtamshu b'keter achad. It's possible for two kings to rule simultaneously? Amala l'chi u'me'ati et atzmech. Go ahead and shrink yourself down, so that way we won't have two people on the same level. Now here you can see the Gemara is going to use the female conjugation by Yireach, even though in the Torah, or Lashona Torah, it uses it as a male conjugation. So the Yireach responds and says, I'm giving you a good logic, and you agree with me that's good logic. That's me. Now you're going to ask me to take the brunt of the solution and to reduce myself. So Amar Lo, Hashem says back to the Yireach, L'chi u'mashol b'yom v'layla, you can rule over day and night, it's fine. Just reduce yourself, but you rule on both the day and the night. Amar Lo, my revutei, what type of benefit is that for me? True at night, that's great, because there's nothing else around. But during the daytime, shraga b'tira, my honey. What's the point of carrying out flame, a candle, or light under the daylight or in the daylight times? It's worthless, you can't see anything with it. So too, just because I'm running around during the daytime, but the fact that the sun is there and is brighter, that means that it really doesn't benefit me. So alright, go. Because I'm going to let Bnei Yisrael going to count their holidays, their calendar are going to be based on the lunar cycle. The sun has to also be a part of this. Because you need at least the sun for the tkufta, for the seasons. So you need the sun to correct the calendar and keep it on a steady basis. So therefore, the solar part of the calendar is just as important as the lunar part of the calendar. So Gemara says, Liazil, go, likre tzadikim b'shmech. I will call tzadikim, or tzadikim will call after your name. Because we have Yaakov HaKatan, Shmuel HaKatan, David HaKatan. That adjective of Katan is used by all of them. That descriptive term of Katan is used by all of them. And we know they're all great people. So to you, you shouldn't worry about the fact that you're Katan. Hashem saw that the moon wasn't going to give up so easily, that it was not being put at ease. He should bring a kapara, the Seir Uchatat on Rosh Chodesh, should be a kapara for me. Why is this Seir of Rosh Chodesh different? Where other Rosh Chodesh says Seir L'Chatat? Why over here by the Rosh Chodesh says Seir L'Chatat Hashem? What's Hashem doing? My Rosh Baruch Hu says Seir Zeh. This Seir, which is going to be a Chatat, Yeh Kapara Al Shemi Atati Et Erech, will be a rectification, an atonement for the fact that I shrank the moon. So actually it's very interesting. From this Gemara, it's very clear that the reduction in the size of the moon came out of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And it's really Kodesh Baruch Hu's issue. And that's why he says, bring the Seir L'Chatat on Rosh Chodesh, to remind ourselves of that fact. What's very interesting is that the minhag of women not to say Kiddush Levana is based on a Shloah. The Shloah brings it down, even though it seems Ikar Alocha, women should say Kiddush Levana. And it generally points out that in many other mitzvot aseh as man grama, they do participate, and they do it. So what is so unique about Kiddush Levana? And here the Shloah quotes, it's in Shari Otiot, Ot Kuf, Asher Nireh Be'enai, Shemitam Zeh Mitrochakim Hashim Mitzvah Zu. Why do women stay away from doing Kiddush Levana? Afal Bishmei Kamim, Harbei Mitzvot Aseh Sheh Zman Grama, they they do many mitzvot as seishah as rang gemara time bound mitzvot kagon shofar velulav which are not chayavot, but they still do them. V'lo reinu meolam nashim mikayimot kiddush levana, but we yet never see women doing kiddush levana. Avshein nizarot beolat tefilot, even though they have a command to do all the tefilot. Mipnei shepgam levana garma hisha rishona, because the reduction in the size of the moon was caused by the first woman. Tainu chet chava, the sin of chava, umitrachakim mipnei abusha, and the women stay away because of the embarrassment, the fact that chava, the aim, kochai, the first woman, went ahead and caused this miut alevana. So women feel a sense of embarrassment about that, and therefore they don't want to say kiddush levana. So afal pishmatzu lehem tikkun acharkach, even though they rectified that situation later on, shnitkanu be'egel, when it came to the egel, the women did not participate. The men did participate, but the women stood out. And because of that, shelo chatuv l'shamu l'nachash kadmon, shu asatanu yitzara, that by the egel, since they didn't participate in it, therefore they were rewarded. Therefore, the holiday of Rosh Chodesh was really unique to the women and special significance to the women. There are many who had the minog not to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh because of this idea or this kesher between the woman and the Rosh Chodesh. So, she's the first cause of this problem, the of an individual who's trying to sway others from the path. And then afterwards, people followed in her footsteps and got involved with the ego. And we haven't cleansed ourselves of this. And therefore, the moon is sometimes full and sometimes not full. But it's interesting from the Shla, the premise of his position is that the women created or were the problem when it came to Miut HaLevana. Yet our Gemara says that Kadosh Baruch Hu takes full responsibility for that and that incident. So I don't know if it's a machloket agadot. Not exactly sure what the source of the shlof for this is, but it has real nafkaminot in terms of whether women should participate in kiddush levana. According to our Gemara, it seems that they have nothing to do with this miut levana, and that would make a strong argument for them zakein saying kiddush levana, like the ikra din mina Gemara. On the other hand, we do find this, the women generally don't say it because of that. Ravasi Rami, Ravasi had a steer in the psukim Ktiv, on the third day of creation, says that out of the earth emerged the deshe, all the grasses and vegetation. There on Erev Shabbat, it says that this was, Adam was created before anything had come out of the ground, before any growth out of the ground. So how to reconcile between the two? On Yom Shelishi, when they were created, they came up and they emerged just above the ground level. Ajaba Adam Rishon, until Adam Rishon came and davened. Yadug Shamim, then the waters came, Vitzamchu, and they grew. The conclusion from this, or the reason for this, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves to hear the tefillah of the tzadikim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the tefillah of the tzadikim, and therefore he puts them in positions where they do have to ask and speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something. Nachman Bar Papa Avulei Hayginto had this nice little garden. Shadi Bei Bizrani, he spread seeds there, Velo Tzamach, and they did not grow. Boy Rachme, Davind, Ata Mitchell, the rain came, Vitzamach, and they started to emerge, they started to grow. Amar Hainu de Ravasi. This is exactly that Shaila, or that case like Ravasi, where we had the conclusion in the previous Gemara, when we had a steer between the Psukim with the Deshe, that the conclusion was, Lomei Dechosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Metavela Tefilatan Shel Tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Tefilat Tzadikim, and therefore you put them in a position where they will have to be by Rachme. And that's what happened here. Amar Rav Chanan Barava, HaShesu'a. The word Shesu'a, which is somewhat unclear in the Torah, most likely it's translated as being Mafriz Parsa V'Shosad Shesa. That Shosad Shesa means that its cut or the split hoof is all the way through. But over here we have an alternative opinion that the Shesu'a is not referring to the split hoof at all, but rather a Shesu'a Bri'a B'fnei Atzmai. It's a new creation. It's its own creation. Sheyesh la shnei gabin, has two backs, v'shnei shidra, the two spinal columns, but yet they share a head. V'chi, Gemara says, V'chi Moshe Rabbeinu kanigei haya oblisteri haya. Was a Moshe Rabbeinu a hunter? Oh, was he a blisteri, an archer? So since he didn't have such practice in these areas, how is Moshe somehow finding an animal or defining for us an animal that we never saw and we don't know anything about. Animal called Ishtesua. Where it says, Mikan Shuvah Omer, Ein Torah Min HaShamayim. But this is one of the proofs to the fact that Torah is Min HaShamayim. Because otherwise, how can anybody make statements about the Ishtesua? Yet the Torah has what seems unusual insight and knowledge about the Ishtesua and the other animals. That's a proof that it's Torah Min HaShamayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who made such statements. Some of the Rav Chisda Rav Tachlifa Bar Avina, Zil Kotuv Kenigei Blisterei, Bagutech Upersha. Go write down these words, Kenigei Blisterei, and then the Agadah that we just learned associated with them, you should write it all down in one place. Chamesh Yetzanei Plishtim, Hazativ, Ashdodiv, Ashkeloni, Agativ, Akroni, Vavim. It says that you have the five leaders of the Plishtim, and then it goes ahead and enumerates six. So Amar Chamisha, Pasuk says five, V'chosh Yushita, and then afterwards it writes six. Sam Rabbi Yonatan, Aronke Shalem Chamisha. So the word here, Aronki, or it's either a donkey that's brought down, or a dandaki, all of them mean the same thing, which is, they got an Adon, Aronke Shalem Chamisha. The overseers, the overlords, the upper echelons were only five, but they're still all Plishtim. Amalei Rav Chisda, Rav Tavchlifa Bar Avina, Tov Aronki Bagadatech. Write this word down in your notebook. Buperisha on the Perush that we just heard, this Agadata that we just heard, I want you to write it down. Upligi Durav. And this argues on the position of Rav Dama Rav Avin Miteman Bo. That the Avim are not really indigenous to this area, but they really came from Teman. Now, Teman both an offspring from Esav, and maybe even Teman, the location in the south. Tanya Nami Ochi. Now we have a bright that supports that. Avim miteman bo. Velamini crush man avim. So the avim came from Teman. So velamini crush ma'am avim. If, according to the bright, they really came from Teman, why are they called avim? So one possibility is she ivuto et mikoman. I would say that they went either wayward from their location or they left desolate location. They left whatever they left behind and they went somewhere else. I mean, they moved to the area of the Plishtim. That they desired many gods, and especially those of the Plishtim, so they came to join them. Another possibility is, anybody who sees him, they are overtaken by trembling and fear. So that's the word avit. So the word over here, avim, is a play in different manifestations of all of these. These avim, that we said would cause you, when you see them, cause you to tremble and be in fear. And Rav Yossi says about these individuals, Shitzar Dareshine Lechol Chad V'Chad. They had 16 rows of teeth, each one of them. So they're fierce, ferocious, and that's why they're so scary. There are many psukim in the Torah which seem meaningless. Seem like you could just rip them out, burn them, and it would make no difference to the whole Torah. It turns out that they are fundamental to the lachot of the Torah. The Avim live in this area from Chatzirim until Azah. Why do we care about this? Because of the peace treaty between Avimelech Avram. It says, me, my offspring, my grandchildren. Let the Kaftarim come and remove the Avim. Dainu Plishtim, because the Avim are Plishtim. And then Bnei Israel will come and take it from the Kaftarim. Basically, the Kaftarim were Machshir. Basic idea is that the Kaftarim are Machshir, the area. Because had it still been the Avim, and they've still connected to the Plishtim, then we'd still be under the umbrella of that treaty that was signed between Avram and Avimelech. And as part of that, these properties were awarded to the Plishtim and to Ammon, Moab. Those were areas that Hashem says you're not allowed to bother them, you're not allowed to take things from them. And those areas, Bnei Israel were precluded from attacking or taking over. But if someone else precedes them and takes over those lands, they are quote-unquote mitaher. They cleanse those areas because the new conquerors, there Bnei Israel has no rules with regards to new conquerors except to do well. What's been described here is Livku Kaftarim. The Kaftarim came, chased out the Avim who were part of the Plishtim, and that's why it's a proof to Rav that they were considered like the Plishtim. That the Avim were Plishtim and not from Teman. But nevertheless, over here we have a case where the Avim were conquered by the Kaftorim. The Kaftorim, Bnei Israel can attack and conquer no problem. We have a similar type of case when it comes to Ammon and Moab. Ki cheshbon ir Sichon melech Amori, he, v'hu nilcham b'melech Moab. The reason that he had it was because he took it from Moab. We're not allowed to fight or to start up with Moab. But on the other hand, if Sichon covered it, we are allowed to attack Sichon and we can capture it in that convoluted manner. And now, Kamina, what's the issue here? Don't bother Moab. Let Sichon come along and take or conquer property from Moab. Let to Israel, and then Bnei Israel will come and conquer it from Sichon. That's what explained this statement that we have, that Amon and Moab were Nitar Ayudei Sichon. Because since Sichon conquered those areas from Amon and Moab, after Bnei Israel come later on and they conquer those areas, and once it's in the possession of Sichon, when Bnei Israel come and attack Sichon, they're not bothering Moab or Amon. They're taking it from Sichon. Tzidonim yikru'u lechemon Siryon. The Tzidonim, who have locations that are adjacent to the Hermon, they used to call it Siryon. Tana Snir v'Siryon mehare Eretz Yisrael. That both the Snir and the Siryon are both parts of the mountains of Eretz Yisrael. Malamed. Shekol echad ve'echad meumot olam alach ubano lo krach gadol le'atzmo. Every individual of the world went ahead. Ubano krach gadol built a great city for himself. Ve'alo ashem hare Eretz Yisrael. And they named them after the mountains in Eretz Yisrael. To teach you that the mountains of Eretz Yisrael are desirable even in the eyes of the non-Jewish nations. Therefore, they all want to name it after, give a name to Har Hermon, or take part of that name for their cities. So that Yosef goes ahead, as part of the work that he does with Paro and the famine that's going on, he moves the individuals, he moves the people to new locations to show his control. Show the fact that he's now owner of the property that they sold to him. He exercises that right. Then he moves the people around to show who's really in charge and the land really belongs to him. He moves the people around in order to demonstrate that ownership. So my Navgamino, why did Yosef do this? In order to protect his brethren. When they came down, when Yaakov and his family came down to Mitzrayim, they were obviously outsiders. But if everybody was an outsider because they had been moved around, they would feel less resistance and less animosity towards them. Therefore, Yosef, in anticipation of that, goes ahead and befriends in order that his brothers not be embarrassed and that they did not feel out of place. Yosef made it that everybody was a gola, everybody was exiled from their location. So the fact that the Bnei Yisrael, the Shvatim, were here was no greater or less than of the other situation. And that's the godless of Yosef at Tzadik, that he really thought about others and not just himself in the situation. He had the forethought to realize that eventually maybe the family would come here. In order to protect them and to make them feel at ease when they came there, he put others into galut so that they would not feel out of place. Okay, we'll stop over here.